tell you. I bet there are a lot of people who are listening right now, hearing this theme and then hearing my voice afterwards going, damn it. I thought it was going to be them. Well, it is. It's Nick DiGiulio. We're back. And it's a crazy special week this week. So we wanted to have some of our favorite guests on. And these are two of my favorite people on the planet and yours, too. The great Steve and Johnny. Hi, guys.
Damn it.
Oh, I have to tell you, every time I hear that that theme, I have this Pavlovian response to start cleaning up the studio while Milt Rosenberg is ushering his guest out.
Right. Yes. I know exactly what you mean. I used to follow Milt on Friday nights. And I would, you know, I would, as soon as the news would kick in, I would run in and try to get the studio set up. And also, and I have to say, if I'm out and I hear I Feel All Right by Steve Earle, immediately I'm like, wait a minute, where's the on-air light?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yes, there you go. Yes. Isn't that funny? Because I immediately wanted to run get coffee because that's what I did during the theme.
Yeah.
It was to the coffee, get the guests, get everybody settled. And it's amazing what you could do in 2 minutes and 47 seconds.
Right.
I'm like, whoa.
Well, you know, a lot of the times, you know, I would be in studio to do the changeover from, because I would do Sunday nights before you guys.
Yeah.
11 to 2 for many years. And we got to catch up on, you know, every once a week we got to catch up and talk and stuff. So I got to hear that theme every Sunday night.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Well, this afternoon we were reminiscing about our Sunday nights, because that's really how our relationship developed, is you agreed to come in on the Sunday night show, the beginning of the month, and give us a rundown of the movies coming up for that month.
Yeah.
And by the way, right off the bat, let me say congratulations,
ma'am. Yes.
Your induction into the WGN Walk of Fame is so long overdue so well-deserved. Congratulations.
I thank you very much. It means a lot. Coming from you guys especially, because you guys were always supportive of me and had me on your show and gave me a lot of airtime. And you know, it was step one was, you know, was Roy getting me in, and and step two was you guys, you know, making it sound okay to have me on the radio again. And not
you know, honestly, Nick, I can recall calling Roy and asking him for your number so that we could track you down, because we would listen to you on Saturday mornings with Roy.
Yeah. And we wanted to make sure that Roy didn't have any problem with us
having you on.
To join us.
Yeah. And I remember clearly he said, oh, no, man, he's a good kid. This would be wonderful. How cool. Yeah, give him a call. You want me to call him? He was just so gracious. Yeah. And, yes, it was important to us that he didn't feel like we were, you know, stepping on his toes and trying to steal you away. And he wanted you to have that opportunity. And you would come in then on Sunday nights. And remember, I would worry about how you got there because you didn't have a car.
Yeah, sometimes I did. There was a period of time when I actually did have a car. But for many of the years, I didn't. Yes.
That's true.
Yeah.
And you said, that's okay. If I have to walk, I'll come down. And we realized that you just had a passion not only for film, but you loved radio.
Yeah,
and you loved that opportunity to talk on the radio.
Well, I mean,
I just realized you have a real unique position with the inductees to the WGN Walk of Fame.
Which is?
Johnny worked at various radio stations before she got to WGN.
Right.
I worked at various radio stations. Roy had worked at various radio stations. Wally Phillips, Bob Collins, Nick. No, WGN. Period. Sorry.
Yeah, that's it. It all started. And you know what? I believe, you know, tomorrow is actually the date of my 32nd anniversary as part of the station.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, 32 years. It's just, it's absolutely mind-boggling.
Crazy?
Yeah.
It is, because we used to laugh, and it, you know, in reality, it was very funny when we could say that you, Milt, and the two of us had the most seniority of anybody on the air.
Yeah.
We would say, really? Who would have thunk it?
Yeah.
What a wacky quartet that
it's,
was.
And now it's just me and Orion.
Right.
We have the longest seniority.
So. I don't mean to overlook Orion. I was just talking about people who had a regular show.
Yeah, exactly.
With the four of us within seniority, because Orion might be listening, and I don't want to anger
people who weren't milking cows.
Right.
That's right.
Exactly right. Well, it's been, you know, it's been just a thrill to be, for me, you know, it was a dream come true to just work here. You know, that was enough, you know, because I have so much respect for this radio station. I mean, I grew up listening to it. It was in the house 24/7. And, you know, just to be on this station and to have a show on this station means everything to me. And for this honor, it's just it's incredible.
Well, and let me also say that you have no idea how much we tried to be there, and we just had some commitments we could not get out of. And we so wanted to be there for your induction.
I just wanted to hoot from the audience. You know, just embarrassed you. Just do something.
Well, it's gonna. I mean, I'm really looking forward to it. And that's okay that you guys. I mean, look. You know, we're talking tonight. We're gonna reminisce tonight and talk about that. Not just about me being inducted, but so many of the great people, the honorees that are being inducted into the Walk of Fame tomorrow. And you guys, you guys know all of them, or at least knew many of them.
Yeah.
And so.
Yep.
We want to talk about that, and we want to talk about your experience being inducted and what it was like for you. I couldn't believe it until I saw the thing in the sidewalk. Like, I saw it in the sidewalk. Do you know where they put me?
I saw that,
yeah.
Nick.
They put me
next to Bob Collins.
They put me next to Bob Collins and between Roy and Orion.
Like, how cool is that?
It's insane. It's absolutely insane.
Well, you have a much better position. I'm still paying the guy that is that stands at the desk for
Howells and Hood.
Oh, is that right?
Because I have this image of people coming out to smoke and they put their cigarette out on me. And when I said to the guy, the maitre d', I said, "Would you do me a favor?" And he was so sweet. He looked at me and he goes, "Ma'am." Of course, he called me ma'am. "Now that I have a face that goes with that, don't you worry. No one will ever put a cigarette out on you."
See, you know what's really funny is that the moment that I will accept it as being a success is when Kogan puts a cigarette out on my
yeah.
Either Kogan or John Cass. Either one of them can can step on the cigarette right on my name.
So no.
All right, guys, hang on, okay?
Okay.
All right. Steve and Johnny are here. We're going to reminisce and talk about all of the inductees into the Walk of Fame that's happening tomorrow morning. And if you want to jump in and just say hi to Steve and Johnny and reminisce a little bit, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 for talk and texts. You can send in your text, too, with your comments if you want to reminisce with us. We're gonna be old people tonight. You know, talking about how much fun we've had here at the radio station, how we're going to continue to have fun in the future as well. All right, we'll take a break. And the news is coming up next here on 720 WGN. Morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trip Tower. We're here till 5 o'clock. All right. It is a Wednesday morning. And if you guys didn't hear, Dan Chigrew is out, but he and his wife have welcomed another lovely daughter to the world. Olivia Chigrew was born on Monday morning. So congratulations to them. We'll talk all about it when we all get back together on Tuesday of next week. But right now we are chatting with two of my favorite people, Walk of Fame members themselves, the great Steve and Johnny. We welcome them back. Welcome back, guys.
Thank you.
Hey. Can I just say, you're too young to be going into the Walk of Fame, and Dan Chigrew is too young to be welcoming his second daughter into the world.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, it's so great. It's so beautiful. I was telling... You know, I was just saying this off the air, you know, because I Emily turns two today.
Yeah.
So he's got two daughters that are 2 days apart birthday wise.
Timing is everything.
And that family knows how to have a party. So I want to be invited to those babies' birthday parties.
Yeah, that should be fun. That should be a really good time. Because, you know, Dan spent a significant amount of time producing your show, too. So you've had the great joy of working with Dan Chigrew.
For many years, and he actually he stepped in. He was working full time, another job, an office job behind a desk, and wanted to do radio. And he would do weekends and fill in. And we had a period where our producer was not well, so he stepped in, and he was actually working both sides of the clock. He would work all day, 9 to 5, sleep a couple of hours, come in and do our show all night long. And we realized then, when the position opened up, there was just no point in interviewing anybody. Yeah. He was the man. I mean,
yeah.
He was just
he's
so
a,
dedicated.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what he is, and he's a pro. And you know, and that's, and I love working with him. He's, you know, I personally, I'm just, you know, no offense to the other producers that work here, he's the best producer in the building.
Amen.
Sing it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And also, no offense to the other producers, but as you know, it takes a special mindset to be able to function on these hours.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no question about it. No question about it. Well, hey, listen, before we start talking about the Walk of Fame, you guys and the other inductees, which we are going to talk about, I have to ask you, because I know we go, speaking of things that are old that we both, all three of us had in common, are you watching Twin Peaks?
Well, we don't have channel.
Oh, you don't have Showtime. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, well, we do in Chicago. So
it's being recorded.
It's being DVR'd.
Oh, okay.
And we're coming back in about 2 weeks, so
okay,
we'll just binge watch.
Well,
and I'm real curious.
But I saw your post.
Oh my God, is
yeah.
it? It's completely off the rails, nuts. I mean,
but remember, the first season. That's how many times did we come out of the show, and we go on the air? Oh, what are we watching?
Well,
this is like a. I never did LSD, but it's how I imagine an LSD experience would be.
That's why we loved it, and as I think I wrote on your Facebook page, we loved the early seasons of Twin Peaks,
mm-hmm.
hated the last season,
and the movie.
Absolutely hated Fire Walk With Me.
Well, here's the thing. They take a lot of mythology from Fire Walk With Me in this one. And let me just say this. I've watched the first four episodes. They're all available on the on-demand. So I've watched the first four episodes. The first three episodes are right out of the gate so absolutely insane that they make Eraserhead look like you've got mail. It's nuts.
I think I'm going to love it.
It's nuts. I've never seen anything like it. Like, I sat there the first time I sat down to watch it, 10, 15 minutes into the first episode, I'm like, I have no idea what the hell is going on right now. Mm-hmm. But I love it. So, but just be prepared. It's way out there, guys. Way out there.
Well, I'm excited because our friend Joel Patterson, who we've had on the show many, many times, an extraordinary performer, guitarist in Chicago, he was actually asked to be in that band that was at the end of the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
So Joel flew out to L.A.
That's Joel playing the electric guitar.
Is that right?
Yes. Yes, and for people who know our show, they know him from the song Bacon Fat.
Yep.
Oh, right.
He was on our show as Modern Sounds, and he got to actually go to the premiere with David Lynch.
Wow.
Yeah, and he said, you talk about surreal. He said, I had no idea when they flew me out there that I was going to be hanging around with David Lynch.
That's pretty great. That's really great. Hey, quickly, speaking of David Lynch, there's a movie coming out in the fall that I saw at the Chicago Critics Film Festival, and you guys really need to see it when it comes out. It's called Lucky, and it is basically a love letter to Harry Dean Stanton.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just it is a wonderful, incredible movie. Now, why did I just bring – what were we talking about that I would have brought
– Beard. Weird, strange.
No,
Harry Dean Stanton.
No, something we were talking about the band at the end of Twin Peaks, right? What else? What would have triggered
Modern
me?
Sounds, Bacon Fat.
Well, anyway, I don't know why. I have no idea. Something
moment.
Something triggered me. But anyway, you got to see Lucky. It's this great movie with Harry Dean Stanton. Oh, David Lynch is in it. That's why.
Oh,
David,
okay.
That's what it is.
We didn't even go for the obvious.
David Lynch is in the movie. He's in the movie Lucky, and he's got a great, great role as one of Lucky is Harry Dean Stanton's character as one of his best friends who's very upset because his tortoise ran away. So
really,
when that happens.
Yeah. Huh. So anyway, it's a great movie, and it comes out in the fall.
Is it going to get wide?
Yeah, I think, you know, having seen it and having, you know, and announcing that I personally think it's one of the best films of the year and easily the crowning achievement of Harry Dean Stanton. I mean, the whole movie is a love letter to him.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He's in every scene. He's like 92 years old and he's incredible in it. But it got picked up by Magnolia Releasing, and I think they're going to put a campaign in to get him an Oscar because he deserves it. So,
cool.
Yeah.
That is neat.
815 area code sends in a text that says, good morning or evening. It's great hearing Stephen, Johnny, and Nick, all three of you on the radio, is like a family reunion. Thank you. And that's Trucker Rich.
Oh, Rich.
Trucker Rich.
Yeah. We love our trucker. We got more texts coming in. If you guys want to jump in, just say hi, 312-981-7200. Talk about a little bit how it was like for you to be inducted into the Walk of Fame. You know, personally, how you guys felt about it.
But let me first just take you back for just a moment, because here you are reading a text, and we had the opportunity on Tuesday afternoon to speak to Radio 101 at Gulf Coast State College.
Mm.
Do you want to feel old when you're standing in front of a classroom of kids who we ask them, what is their vision of radio, right? And it was as out there as, well, I want to do stuff on YouTube, or I want to do podcasts. I think two kids in the class said, in fact, they wanted to be on the radio.
Right.
But the fun thing was we started talking to them about the fact that we remembered radio when we didn't have the internet, we didn't have texting, we didn't have Skyping. And as I was saying these things, I could just feel myself just kind of curling up and turning to dust.
I've seen the looks on their face, Nick, when we said, now, you're probably thinking that you're going to do a podcast or a one-hour show. Well, we did six hours.
and they were like,
their looks were like, huh?
Yeah. Oh, and then the guy in the front said, together? Like, really? You're
well, it's
married
not,
and you do this together?
Yeah, but it was 6 hours, 5 nights a week.
5 nights a week, yeah.
Yeah.
And we did throw in Sunday afternoons for many, many years. We did 4 hours on Sunday afternoons.
Oh, that's right.
We'd turn around and come back on Sunday night. But that was back in the days when we had a union. So if you did that kind of thing, oh, boy, was it lucrative.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy,
you guys should have brought in a cart machine and see what their reaction to it
was.
Yes,
I know.
Well, I explained to them, because they're used to digital technology and they know how to get, for example, delays with digital technology. I explained to them how at the first radio station I worked at, we had two reel-to-reel machines. And you put a reel of tape on the playback head of one of the machines. Then you put another reel of tape on the record head of the other machine. And the length of your delay was determined by how far apart you set these two machines.
Oh, man.
Physically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this must have been mind-boggling to them.
Well, they kind of looked at us like, wow, and you're just standing there? How can you stand? Don't you need a chair?
Yeah, you're standing without help.
all right.
Is it time to take your medication? No, they were wonderful. They were really
cool.
Wonderful. And they were kind of wide-eyed. And afterwards, it was really cute because a couple of the girls, we were tickled that half the class was made up of women.
Mm.
They came up and said, could we have your autograph? And I was like, yeah, this is really neat.
That's awesome. That's great.
And in fact, we'll put in a little plug, because we're doing some, that's one of the reasons we're here. We're doing some consulting with Gulf Coast State College, and we're also helping them with their broadcast departments. And while we were there, we recorded a video that I believe Dave Marzullo is probably going to put up on the WGN website sometime later today, and it's all about the Walk of Fame and the people being inducted into the Walk of Fame.
Oh.
But to answer your question, at least my reaction to going into the Walk of Fame, we were there the first year. Now, we were not inducted the first year, but we were there, and it was fascinating to see some of the people that were there who deserved to go into the WGN Walk of Fame. Then when we got the word a year later that they were going to induct us, I think we were a little bit overwhelmed. Because we all have, and I know this sounds corny to some people, we all have a really special feeling about WGN. There is no other radio station in the country, maybe not on the planet, like WGN.
Yep.
And, Nick, I think you can relate to this. Sometimes you do your job, and when you do your job well, nobody bothers you. They let you do your thing.
That's
because
right.
After all, you know, you're keeping the lights on, you're keeping people happy, you're bringing in the ratings, the ears are out there. So there are times when you think, they don't even know I exist, you know? So when you get acknowledged like this, you're like, excuse me? You do know I work here, right? Wow. It was a huge honor because, and that's not just ego talking, that's the reality.
Right.
When you do your job and you work third shift, the people during the day, we're very fortunate. I know, Nick, they do this with you. They leave you alone.
Yeah, yep.
right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure, Nick, that this is the same thought is crossing your mind. To be honored in the company of people like Roy Leonard, Wally Phillips,
Bob Collins.
That's huge.
Yeah.
It's mind blowing, is what it is. I mean, I just, you know, let me take a break because I want to ask you guys how they let you know that you were going to be what the phone call was like.
To find out how you found out, too.
It's pretty funny. I will tell you. It's pretty funny.
Okay,
hang on a second, all right? Steve and Johnny are here. If you guys want to call in and just talk to Steve and Johnny and say hi, we're going to talk about all the inductees. It's going to be a great day tomorrow. Hopefully you guys can make it down for the induction ceremony. And we're going to talk about all the really amazing people that will be inducted to the Walk of Fame on Thursday. And we're visiting with the great Steve and Johnny. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Right. Hey, good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower here till 5 a.m. My guests are Steve King and Johnny Puppin, and we are talking about we're going to be talking about all the people who are inducted into the Walk of Fame this year. And we were just discussing how Steve and Johnny felt about their induction. Welcome back, guys.
Thanks.
All right. So tell me about how you were informed.
Well, oddly enough, the way we were informed was kind of straight. It was sort of a two-part being informed.
Mm-hmm.
Because after the first year, we happened to be down at WGN. We were talking at that point. We were working on our Les Paul book. And we were talking with Todd Manley and with Jimmy DeCastro. And they told us then, and this was about a week or so after the first induction, they said that they had so many people that had emailed and called saying, why weren't Steve and Johnny inducted, that they told us that the following year we were going to be inducted.
Hmm.
But we didn't believe them. We thought, they're just saying this.
It was nice. I said, they're stroking us. That's really nice. I'm serious. That's what crossed my mind.
Yeah.
And it was 11 months later, and we were in Florida, and the phone rang, and it was Todd Manley. He said, remember what we told you? And we said, yeah. And he said, well, it's happening. Here's the date. You better be here. And we both kind of looked at each other and said,
I guess they really meant it.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to say that. So here's how I found out, guys. And as you know, Dan is kind enough. Dan Shagru doesn't live very far from where I live. So I ride in with him. He's kind enough to give me a ride in since I don't have a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we drive back to, we drive home together from the station.
Right.
So after we're off the air at 5 o'clock, I do some stuff post show and Dan does some stuff post show. And we usually get out of here 5:30, 5:40 a.m. So one Monday morning, we're doing our thing. Dan's like, okay, I'm all done. How about you? Yeah, let's go. We get our coats and we walk down the hall. And Dan, for those people who might not know this, and I think you guys know this, there is, for people who don't know, there in the studios here, the Showcase Studio and this one here, there are these highlights that give you the highlights of what's happening on each show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that the host can go, oh, here, coming up on Bill and Wendy, here's a guest, or coming up on John Williams, this is coming up. Dan does those. He puts those together, the highlight sheets. And then at the end of each shift, we go down, we get off at the first floor, and we walk into the Showcase Studio, and Dan puts that piece of paper with all the highlights on it into a reader so that it's there for the day for the studio. And we do this every morning. And so we're going down to the elevator doors open up, and standing in the lobby at 5:40 a.m. is Todd Manley, my boss.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, what the hell? And the Walk of Fame is
a little worried.
Yeah,
a little worried.
It's the farthest thing for the Walk of Fame is the absolute farthest thing from my mind. I immediately think, what the hell did I do wrong? Why?
Yep.
Yep.
Is the boss standing in the lobby of the Tribune Building at a 20 to 6 in the morning? And then Todd's like, "Hey, how's it going?" He was talking about how good the show was, and I'm like, "Thank you, Todd." He's buttering me up. He's going to fire my ass right now. And so he's like, "Let's go into the Showcase Studio." So we go into the Showcase Studio. And he's like, okay. And so Dan puts, the highlight sheet into the reader, and we're just kind of standing there. And Todd goes, this is great, isn't it? So then he's like, this studio, isn't it beautiful? It's just beautiful down here on Michigan Avenue, Todd is saying. And I'm like, yeah, in my head. And then I think, okay, he's not firing me, but he's going to not let me do the show from upstairs anymore. And he's trying to sell me on the Showcase studio. You know what I mean? Because I thought there was just going to be some. The new rule is all shows, because I'm the only show full time that's up here.
Right.
And I love it up here. No, nothing against the Showcase studio, but I love this studio up here. And so I was thinking, oh, he's going to make me do the show from downstairs. Okay, that's why he's here. And then he's like, there's a beautiful studio, and you look out there, that's the Walk of Fame. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm just like, yeah, okay. And I'm thinking to myself, well, Dan and I are going to have to adjust and do the show from downstairs. And then he's like, and we want you to be a part of the Walk of Fame this year. And I didn't hear that. Like, it was like, it was all bells and whistles at that point. I was like, I go, I'm sorry, what? He goes, we would like to welcome you to the Walk of Fame this year. You're going to be inducted. And I was like, and I started tearing up, and he gave me a big hug.
Yeah.
And then I look at Dan, and I go, did you know about this, you son of a bitch? And he goes, yeah, I did. And I was like, you.
And he's great at keeping a secret.
Oh, yeah. And here's what's really funny. So he goes, let's go outside and take a look. And, you know, and we walk outside. Uh-huh. It was raining that morning. So we walk outside, and he takes us down. We start walking down, and there was that spot between Roy and Orion. And he pointed to that one. He's like, we're going to put you next to Roy. And I'm like, oh, my God. And that's made me tear up. You know, just being next to Roy is just a dream. And so so what's going on inside the studio? Mike, one of the producers of Cochran's show, he was in the studio. He was in the producer's room, the booth. While watching Todd like talk to us and take us outside, he was like, you know, when Todd came back in, he goes, did you fire Nick?
Oh.
Mike thought that I got canned right then and there. Walked me outside of the building. Mike was like, what the hell is going on? So anyway.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. But it was quite the opposite. It was cruddy. It was a funny story, though. Hey, Steve, Johnny, hang on, okay?
Sure.
I got to hit the news. Hang on. Okay, Steve and Johnny are here, and people are calling in if you want to jump in and just say hi to Steve and Johnny. 312-981-7200, and we're going to talk about the other inductees for the Walk of Fame. Amazing people who have amazing stories. And we got the news coming up. All right. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trip Tower here till 5 a.m. And Steve Cochran at 6, and at 5 is the opening bell with Steve Grzanich. And coming up a little bit later on, Esmeralda and I will go head-to-head again on another radio version of Celebrity Name Game. It'll be intense and violent. So that's coming up. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. If you would like to jump in and talk with us, we're hanging out with Steve and Johnny this morning, and it's always great to have them on. And if you want to text or talk to us, it's 312-981-7200. We welcome Steve and Johnny back. Welcome back, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a call, and here's Judy on WGN. Hi, Judy.
Hello, Nick. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And please say hello to your mom and dad and wish him a happy day.
I will. I mean, they're going to be there. So
I know they are. I understand perfectly.
Yeah.
And to Steve and Johnny, it's so good to hear your voices.
Thank you.
How you doing? Great, great.
Perfect.
Healthy and happy.
You sound wonderful. I'm sending you guys a note via the station, so watch for it, okay?
Okay.
It's coming from
Milwaukee.
We still
got our mail there.
Coming from Milwaukee.
Thank
okay. Thank you, Judy.
Okay.
Have
take
a great
care.
Day. Bye. That was nice for her.
Milwaukee, a very quick blatant plug. In 2 weeks, we're heading back to Chicago. And on June 10th, which is the day after what would have been Les Paul's 102nd birthday, we're going to be up in Milwaukee at the Discovery Center at Les Paul's House of Sound.
And we're going to be talking and doing a Q&A and a book signing. And, Nick, have you ever been to Discovery World?
I have not.
You would love it.
Oh, my gosh.
It is so cool.
It's like a glass spaceship landed on Lake Michigan.
Oh.
So you're inside this museum, and the walls are glass, and you're looking out at the water. It's breathtaking. And then they have a wing of it where they put together this unbelievable Les Paul House of Sound exhibit. And we were there with Les when that was opened. He got to see it for the first time. It's all really legitimately his stuff that he chose to have on display there.
Wow.
And it's just a beautiful place. So we're going to be there on the 10th of June.
June 10th. Okay. And if people want to get your book, it's still available, correct?
Yeah, sure.
Yep. All I have to do is go to a little more less, and spell less with one S, a little more less.com, and just click on the links, and you can order the book that way.
Okay.
By the way, when Judy mentioned your dad,
yeah,
and it reminded me of something that was one of the more interesting nights that we ever experienced with you.
Yeah.
The night that we almost burned the radio station
down. That's
right.
That's right. Yeah.
When we did this video thing that we did on Tuesday afternoon, which is going to be up on the GN website, we were reminiscing about our time together. I think I misspoke and said that was your 40th birthday. I think that was your 30th birthday.
It was my 30th. It was 10.
It was your 30th birthday, yeah. And I decided, because my place in life was to find things that would aggravate Nick, and since it was his 30th birthday and The Lion King was out, and I was in love with the Lion King movie, and Nick hated it, I decided, hey, if I'm planning this party for Nick, we're going to make it the Lion King theme. And that was the cake we had made,
right.
And I had the hats and the balloons and all that other stuff, because I just knew it would really, really make you happy.
That was my 30th birthday. But you guys, explain how you guys almost burnt down the damn building.
No, that was your daddy did that.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. Come on.
We had Nick's dad hid
unbeknownst to Nick,
what was called the Wally Room. There was like this secret wall in the old WGN studio, and that is where Nick's dad was, along with this cake that had all kinds of candles on it.
Here it had 30 candles on it, and your dad, he was anxious, he was nervous, he was going to be on the radio with us, he was going to surprise his kid. He had sacks of White Castle hamburgers because we were going to have a real party.
Right.
And he had the cake, and he decided a little early to light all the candles. And that's what set off this silent alarm. And the three
of
us.
We're sitting there, and all of a sudden there's
security comes in.
Running in. There's a fire! A fire!
And they said, are you guys okay? We have an alarm coming from. And we're like, what? Is somebody smoking in here? No. And about that time, the door slowly opens, and your dad walks, and he goes, I think I might have goofed.
Yeah.
When he realized it, he blew out the candles and he comes walking out.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
It was hilarious. And and that room is very small and claustrophobic.
Yes, it is.
And because I used to keep my stuff in there, you know, when I was working out of a combo downstairs, and I used to keep my stuff.
Sure.
In there. And I couldn't believe, like, when the door opened, there's my dad. I had no idea. There's my dad, and I'm like, and he stood in that room for how long? Did he stand in that room?
At least a good 45 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we talked about all the movies coming up because the whole idea was we are going to surprise you.
Right, right. Well, the security did surprise us, that's for sure.
Yes, they did.
Yes, they did. All right, well, let's talk about some of the people that are being inducted this year. Amazing. And we'll just go, you know, alphabetically.
Sure.
Leonard Baldy, the first flying officer ever.
Yeah.
Tell everybody about Leonard Baldy.
Well, that was in 1958 when he started flying, and that was a big deal because imagine how expensive that was, and nobody was doing this, and who cared about traffic? But the station was so forward-thinking, they realized that this was, with people moving to the suburbs and with the expressway system such that it was, our lives were changing, so let's have somebody with eyes in the sky. And so as a Chicago police officer, he was still a Chicago police officer. This was his job, was to report for the radio station. And really one of the big turning points, I think, in his career was that horrific fire, Our Lady of the Angels. And he was the eye in the skies over that fire. He literally saw children jumping out of windows of that fire. He was communicating with the police and fire department on the ground while he's reporting on the radio. I guess it was absolutely huge. It was just so, you couldn't go anywhere but there because that's where the story was being reported.
It's not overstating the case to say that Leonard Baldy set the precedent for traffic reporting
in
Chicago radio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And sadly, it was in 1960 when there was a helicopter crash, and he was killed in that helicopter crash. But the station continued to offer traffic, and he set the standard. You know, you had to, it was no nonsense. You had to get the facts out there, He had the credibility of being a Chicago police officer, so the station had this relationship with, in particular, Chicago police officers. And then when Mike Mathis, one of the honorees, came on, it evolved into they brought in Mike, who was with the Cook County Sheriff's Police, so that was another branch of law enforcement being represented. And then when I was brought into the traffic department, I'm not sure how I fit into the whole law enforcement thing. I never even had a brush with the law. But when I was brought in, at that time we had Mike Mathis, and we brought in two state policemen, and that's where Link Hampton
came in.
Right.
So Link was a PIO officer, a public information officer, and Link was made for radio because of that voice.
Yeah.
I mean, Link has a face for television, too. I mean, he was so incredibly, and still is, good-looking, but yeah. He had this crazy big voice that made all of the other, like, Spike and Bob sound like pipsqueaks.
Well, yeah. And that great song he did, that traffic jam song.
Right.
Was
damn,
so cool.
Damn, traffic jam.
Yeah. I love Link, and he's another inductee this year. Lincoln is a great, he's a great dude. And I used to love him when he was on Spike's afternoon show. It was just hilarious. And they did Lincoln and the Law, which was a segment that they did that I thought was awesome. And I am so honored to be being inducted beside these guys. Link Hampton is another one.
And let me tell you, Mike Mathis, he is such a terrific person and the consummate professional. Mike would often be asked, you know, aren't you scared to go up in a helicopter? I mean, and he said, look, this is my job. If I get hung up on the fact that I'm in a machine and I'm in the air and it's snowing or raining or whatever, he said, I can't do my job. And I got to tell you, working in Bob Collins' show for 7 years in traffic and having Mike on one side of me and Larry Schreiner on the other side was amazing.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I like to believe that we were really a force. And my job was, to be quite honest with you, I was a traffic cop in studio because while I'm kibitzing with Bob on the air and trying to be light and funny off the air, I'm listening to 6 scanners and talking to Larry Schreiner and to Mike Mathis and coordinating where do we go next, how do we get this story, because we didn't have the internet. So this was really exciting stuff, and Steve can attest to this. I would get off the air, and I'd get in the car, and I would just, like, melt because we
You would need some time to just decompress.
Because we had spent, you know, 4 or 5 hours covering these really intense stories.
Yeah. Well, and also what a lot of people don't know, at that time when Johnny was up in Traffic Central, there was that wall that was the most expensive wall in the city of Chicago that showed real live-time traffic. It was tied to the traffic.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people didn't know that behind the scenes there was some sharing of information with other radio stations, which is how Johnny and Ann Maxfield became acquainted. And Johnny was the one who brought Ann Maxfield over to WGN.
Because I decided that after 7 years doing a morning show, doing half of Steve's show and then doing the morning show with Bob, that I really wanted to do the whole all-night show, and that gave us the opportunity to back up and, you know, start at 11 o'clock at night if I was able to join Steve. And I went to Bob and I said, this is what's going to happen. He wasn't real happy about that because we had a great team going there. And you know how it is.
Oh, yeah.
When you got a great team and one little piece of that team falls apart, you think, well, how can I go on?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And not that I was all that important. I just felt like he didn't want to deal with change. And I had been talking with Ann over the years because I would call her at the other radio station. Have you heard about this? What do you know? We would share information back and forth. And I remember just saying, hey, would you like to come down here and talk? And so she came down the street, and we went to lunch, and she and Bob hit it off, and it was great. I felt like I could leave and not be guilty then.
Right, right. Hang on, okay, guys?
Sure.
All right, Steve and Johnny are here. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk or text. We're going to talk more about the inductees for this year's 2017 Walk of Fame. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trip Tower, here till 5 a.m. My guests are Steve and Johnny, and it's so great to have them on this very special week. And we're talking about, we're reminiscing about our time spent together and all the time that the other incredible inductees have spent with Steve and Johnny. And welcome back, guys.
Thank you.
So they're really doing a nice thing for all the people who have contributed to the traffic department here at WGN. You talked about Link. We talked about Link. We talked about Leonard Baldy and Mike Mathis, who you get to work with, Johnny, as you mentioned. And Mike Mathis, not only a terrific traffic reporter, but also very funny. And he was great on Kathy and Judy's show. He added so much to the show as well.
You're right. The male perspective.
Yeah, I just love that guy, and it'd be great to see him again. Yeah. I haven't seen him in many, many years, so it'll be great to see him. And then, of course, Anne Maxfield, as you mentioned, brought her over, and she became a major part of Spike Odell's show.
Mm-hmm.
And
Max Byrne, remember? Yeah. That's what Spike would call her.
Right. And but it, I think it's really nice what they've done, you know, to honor the traffic department.
Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah. And I think it's really, really cool. And so all of those traffic folks are going to be inducted. Now, let's talk a little bit about before we do that, we have a call here from Joe. Hang on a second. He has a question for you. Hey, Joe.
Okay.
Sure.
Joe?
Hi. So great to hear Steve and Johnny back on the air. And I want to say congratulations, Nick. You really deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
Thank you.
Yeah.
At the Walk of Fame. And I just wanted to ask Steve and Johnny real quick about Fran from Barrows. How's she doing?
Well, to be honest with you, Fran has been living in a rehabilitation facility because of her physical challenges. She lost her leg to diabetes. Her health has just been really up and down. And the last time I attempted to call Fran, I was unable to talk to her. Now, I have since become friends with her daughter-in-law up in Barrow, Alaska, and she assures me that Fran is actually fine. And she said, you know, I'm sorry. I'm going to tell them at the facility that when you call that you can talk to Fran. The sad news, we were both really, really sorry to hear that her son, JoJo, and anybody who listened to our show got to know JoJo through Fran, because JoJo would... Nick, JoJo was her son in Fran in Barrow, Alaska, and Fran would say that it would be literally 20 below zero, and JoJo would be out running around in a T-shirt without a coat on.
Right.
I remember.
He was just a crazy, crazy dude that when people got to Barrow, he would take them on tours, et cetera, et cetera. Well, sadly, he just recently passed away, and I know that
was... I'm sorry to hear that. Now, we'll keep Fran in my prayers, and so good
Thank
to hear you.
You
guys back on the air. There was many a nights I worked overnight for the post office, and you guys would keep me going.
Thanks. Oh, we really appreciate that.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay, Nick, congratulations again.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.
Bye-bye.
There you go. You know, one of the great joys of working... this shift, as you guys know, it's a special shift. We've talked about this before.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
There's no other day part like it, and there's a real – you have a real intimate connection to your listeners. And you can't – somebody who does this shift, or even at just, you know, here on WGN, you can't underestimate that. You know what I mean? You can't discount that. It's a huge thing, and it's a huge responsibility. You know, you hear this – here's a guy named Joe working all night at the post office, and we're keeping him going, you know? I mean, I think that's important stuff. It's important stuff.
You develop a more personal connection with your audience, with your extended family.
Yeah.
This time of the morning than at any other time period on the radio.
And for anyone who is up at this hour, I mean, the world is quieter, so they can listen to you and they hear you and they're not distracted by, you know, what happens during the day. So even if they're listening to you at the nurse's station, in the hospital, or in the emergency room, or at the post office, or at the – we have many people from grocery stores with stock and shelves.
Yep.
And the show would be piped into the grocery store. Mm-hmm. And they look outside and it's dark. It's maybe them with half a dozen other people working. It's a completely different world.
It is.
It's really wonderful the way people get attached to you. And we talk about going out and doing appearances with our book. And it never ceases to amaze me. People see us like it's a family reunion. Oh, you're back. Oh, mm-hmm. And they know more. You know how this is, Nick. They remember more about your life than you do.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of our book, our publishers aren't used to seeing their authors hug so many people.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's great. And, you know, the other thing is that it's a very, as we mentioned, you know, people are working, but there are a lot of people who can't sleep. There are a lot of people who are going through depression. There are a lot of people, you know, if you're up and, you know, in the middle of the night like this and you're not working, there might be something wrong and you need that voice of comfort. Yeah. And you need somebody to be there. It's an important, it's important. It really is.
Well, Nick, I'm sure you've heard from people too, and this has always just, I would keep this in the back of my head, that there were people that, as you say, who were in pain, and a lot of people who would stay up at night to sit with someone who was ill.
Right.
And this would keep them awake so that they could be there if that loved one, for whatever reason, woke up and needed them.
Right.
And we received many, many letters from people over the years. And then, of course, there were the nursing moms.
Right.
So you'll have Dan's wife for a while.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, guys, hang on, all right?
Sure.
Jeff, Steve, and Johnny are here, and we love these guys, and we're reminiscing. We still have some other members of the 2017 inductees for the Walk of Fame to talk about. And again, we welcome your calls, your reminiscences, and your texts. 312-981-7200. News is coming up next. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the seventh floor of the Trip Tower overlooking beautiful Michigan Avenue. It is Wednesday. We will bring back Wildcard Wednesday next week when Dan Shagru comes back. And for those of you who might not know, we want to thank Dan Long, my main man, for filling in. Again, thank you for filling in, Dan.
You know, it's always great to be here.
And he will be filling in tomorrow and Friday as well when Brian Noonan will be hosting my show. And the reason Dan Shagru is out is because, well, they just had a baby. Little Olivia was born on Monday at 5:10 p.m. And it is also, by the way, his first daughter's birthday today, who Emily is 2 today. So it's a special time for the Shagru family, and we congratulate them. And we'll talk all about it when Dan gets back. Right now, we're talking with Steve and Johnny, who are just the best, and we're reminiscing about the people that are going to be inducted tomorrow into the 2017 WGN Radio Walk of Fame. And Steve and Johnny, of course, inductees themselves, and we welcome back, guys.
Thank you.
And Nick, as I was listening to the weather forecast, I was flashing back to the first WGN Walk of Fame ceremony, which may have been on one of the hottest days ever in Chicago.
Yeah.
Be so glad that your forecast for Thursday is for 60s and maybe a 20% chance of any precipitation.
Right.
It's hot on that stage.
Yeah, I bet it is. I bet it is. And it's going to be, I hope it's very comfortable, because I'm going to be wearing, dress shoes, which are going to hurt my feet because I'm old.
Yeah.
And I will be wearing like a suit jacket. So it'll be a little odd, and no baseball hat.
No, right.
Yeah, so people aren't going to recognize me, I guarantee you. So, you know, I hope the ceremony goes well, and then I get home and I can change into some sweats and put on my Hawks hat. That's not. You know.
I'm going to tell you something that will happen.
Okay.
You will be up there on the stage, and you have a great sense of humor about life, but you will get emotional.
Yeah. I'm
really.
Yeah,
I'm actually really. I'm actually really kind of afraid of that. The thing is, when you know, because I know that it's not like you don't go up and make a speech. The people who are hosting, which is going to be Steve Bertrand and Wendy Snyder, they ask you questions and you talk about your career and all that stuff. And there's no question about it. I might lose it when I start talking about Roy Leonard. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, I don't have this if not for Roy Leonard. I owe everything. All 32 years at this radio station, I owe it to Roy Leonard. And I know I'm going to get emotional about it. And the fact that they put me right next to Roy is just insane. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, oh boy. All right, I'm getting emotional now. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
let's talk about three sports-related icons that are being inducted. Let's first talk about the legendary Jack Rosenberg. Now, here's a guy. You guys can talk about it. Here's a guy that if you don't know his contributions to Cubs broadcast, to sports, to Jack Brickhouse, to everything in general, behind-the-scenes stuff. This is a guy who so deserves to be on the Walk of Fame, and I've never met him, and I'm very excited. And
he's a terrific guy. And speaking of Walks of Fame, a lot of people may not know that Jack Rosenberg wrote Jack Brickhouse's speech when Jack was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Is that – see, there's another thing we need. Yeah, amazing. So tell everybody – tell everybody about Rosenberg.
He is, I think he's the classic case of the saying, you know, behind every great man, there's a great woman. He, behind every great sports broadcaster in Chicago, there was Rosie.
Yep. Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Absolutely.
He was right there with Brickhouse. And so humble. And Nick, I tell you, he will know you. He'll know stuff about you. It will freak you out because he's a fan. I'm serious. The first time I met him, I was in awe of meeting him because I'd always heard about Rosie. We first met him over at the old place.
Bradley Place.
When WGN Radio was on Bradley Place. Mm-hmm. He's sauntering across the parking lot. He was going out to meet Jack Brickhouse. And somebody said, oh, there's Rosie over there. You got to meet him. Walked up to him. He knew stuff about us.
Yeah.
I was like, what? How do you know this? It just makes you feel so special. He's a really, really cool guy.
Yeah. Last time we saw him was at the Outback in Skokie.
And he was holding court.
That's awesome.
And, because we saw it was 4 or 5 o'clock of the evening.
Yeah.
Wasn't real busy. We see there's kind of a cluster of wait staff over by this booth. And when the staff cleared, I said, Steve, it's Rosie over there.
Yeah.
He's holding court.
That's amazing. That's so, yeah. I'm so excited to meet him. And again, you know, people in the business know him, you know, and people in the world of sports in Chicago obviously know him, but a lot of the people who are going to be there, you know, who are just casual listeners might not know just how big a deal he is. And he's a big deal.
And they probably don't realize the huge shadow he has cast over Chicago sports broadcasting.
But he also had a couple of really important news coups to his name. One was he was able to get an interview with John Kennedy.
Yes.
Yeah.
President.
Yep.
And some 40 years later with Reagan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, hello.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
He just knew he probably has the most unbelievable Rolodex, and he probably still uses a Rolodex.
I bet he does.
He needs to write the book.
Yeah.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah, no question about it. It is.
Yeah,
I mean, it
I
is, you know, it's an honor to be inducted with all of these people. It's just amazing. You know, like I'm like, oh, I'm being inducted at the same time that Jack Rosenberg is. This is insane.
And I know when you say Vince Lloyd.
Oh,
and
come on.
Hello.
Yeah. Now, you guys hang on. I want to break here because you guys know we have to break for weather and traffic. You remember that, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course.
Just wanted to let you know. So hang on. Steve and Johnny are here, and we're talking about the inductees for the 2017 Walk of Fame. If you want to join us, call and say hi just to reminisce. And you can also do that with the text at 312-981-7200. Phone and text lines are open. 312-981-7200. It's so great to talk to Steve and Johnny, and it's so great to hear their voice at this time of night because they sound great, and I thank them for joining us. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, and Steve Cochran with your morning drive at 6. We are reminiscing with the great Steve and Johnny, who are kind enough to join us and hang out with us. I appreciate you guys hanging out with us this morning. It's so much fun.
We're having fun.
Great. We want to talk about Lou Boudreau and Vince Lloyd, and then we're going to talk about Judy Pilak, and then I want to close with you guys telling some unbelievable Shriner stories.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
So let's talk. Before that, we got a couple of calls who are listeners here. Chris is on WGN. Hey, Chris.
Hi. How are you?
All right.
Oh, I'm Gee, we all miss you guys so much.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
I had a question. There was a time before you guys left that you had Doyle Dykes and his family on, and he was talking about trying to put together a concert or something, either in Nashville or Memphis, with all kinds of guitar players, and he wanted you to play, and he wanted Johnny to MC, and he was trying to get something on TV. Did that ever take place?
What he was doing is there was a show that he had been talking with the people who run RFD-TV about. And over the years, it's gone through various configurations, and for whatever management decisions, it doesn't look like it's going to happen, but Doyle is working on a new album and some other things, and he's alive and well and playing some great guitar. As a matter of fact, he either just was or is going to be in Chicago up at the Chicago Music Exchange over on Clark, like within the next week or so.
Yeah. But that was kind of a cool moment when on the air, and you were obviously listening, Chris, when he said, if this television show happens, I want you guys to be a part of it. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah. I get to buy clothes. Good.
It sounded like it would be so fun.
Yeah.
And he still wants to. I'll tell you very quickly, one of the reasons that he's kind of put it on the back burner, he wants to keep control of it. And some of the other people, sponsors and things, coming in saying they wanted to own part of it and they would be responsible for syndicating it. And he said, no, I kind of want to keep
control
of it myself.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, Chris, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
Johnny.
Bye. Take care.
Yes, ma'am.
And here is Cindy on WGN. Hi, Cindy.
Hi. I'm an old-time listener since way back in the elephant day. That was back was that?
When I proposed to Johnny on an elephant.
Right.
Yeah, how long was that?
That was 35 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that far. And then I want to also mention all the nights with Les Paul. And do you have a Christmas tree decorated down in Florida?
No, I don't, because I have four back in Chicago, so I have all my decorations are there. In fact, for anyone who follows us on our Facebook page, in the next few days we'll have pictures of our Memorial Day tribute tree, which is really quite lovely. And I know it's wacky. And, Nick, you know, people tease me over the years about having a year-round Christmas tree.
Yep.
But I wouldn't have a year-round Christmas tree if it wasn't for listeners making me these unbelievable ornaments. I mean, every month when I decorate this tree, I remember getting a shoebox. It would be filled with needlepoint or whatever. I mean, hand-blown glass, carvings. Crazy things that are just absolutely wonderful and just a ton of good memories.
Yeah.
Another thing is when we'd all get together at Super Dogs with Francis.
Oh, yeah.
Kids. And it's good to hear she's okay. I'm not online, so I can't keep up with that. However, I just wanted to say hello and good to hear you. Okay?
Thank you, Cindy.
Have a
great
morning. Too.
Appreciate it.
Lou Boudreau and Vince Lloyd. Let's talk about them. These were the guys that I listened to. They were the voice of the Cubs when I was growing up.
And they were two of the guys that helped set the standard for when the Cubs are having a lousy year, you want good radio personalities to listen to.
Yeah.
And they really helped to lay down that carpet and define that standard. And of course, you can't forget the fact that Lou went on to be a Cubs manager.
Right.
I mean, you talk about having baseball in your DNA.
And I think I got a few points when I started dating Steve because his dad was such a huge Cub fan. Mm. I knew who they were. He was like, okay, she can be in the family. You know? I was like, oh, all right, I'm a North Sider. I'll never forget. He says, you're a North Sider. You must be a Cub fan. I go, well, yeah, you know, I used to cut class and go to the games and all.
Yeah.
And then he mentioned Lou and Vince, and I was like, yeah, I know who they are. Okay. She's in.
Yeah. You know what I used to love that they obviously they don't do anymore? I used to love when they would switch from TV to radio and you know, they would switch the broadcasters.
Yeah.
You know, they would do a few innings on radio and then a few innings on TV. And I always thought that was so cool. And I miss that. I mean, obviously times are completely different now, and it can't happen. But I thought that was a really wonderful thing.
Now, wasn't Lou Boudreau known for he was a stickler for the rules? It's like he was a walking encyclopedia.
Baseball
rules.
Yeah.
And sometimes the umps would actually defer to him because he knew stuff.
Yeah. It was amazing. And again, it's mind-boggling that I'm being inducted at the same time these two guys.
Yep.
These are like childhood heroes of mine. And it's just
true. It seems so appropriate though that you should be there with two, if you couldn't be there with Ron Santo, but you what? You're on the same Walk of Fame with Ron Santo.
I know. It's God. All right. Real quick, here's Gary. Gary, how you doing?
Good morning. Good
morning.
Congratulations
Thank
to you.
Thank you.
Hi, Gary. Back when Louis Boudreau was the player manager for the Indians, that was about probably 30-some years before I was born, Louis had taken, I don't know if it was the game ball, but he had taken the ball and he had the entire team sign it and give it to his mother. And Louis's mother was a brittle diabetic, and she was in a wheelchair towards the end. And my mother would clean house for Mrs. Boudreau. And she brought my brother Greg with. And one day Mrs. Boudreau wheels herself over to the buffet, and she pulls out this official wrapper and has this game ball in it. And she tells my mother, she says, Marie, she said, Louis had the whole team sign this ball for me. She said, I've had it for years. She goes, I want to give it to you, and I want you to keep it for Greg so when he gets older.
Wow.
Man,
what a treasure.
My family has that ball. So back in the 80s, I get to the park early, and I get a Chicago policeman, and I introduce myself, and I show him the ball. And he says, do you know Louis? I said, no. I said, he knows my name, but no, he doesn't know it. So he brings me upstairs to the booth, and it's Vince Lloyd and Louis Boudreau and Jack Brickhouse. And the policeman knocks on the door. He says, Louis, we got company. So he introduces me, and I pull this ball out of my pocket. And, it was the official red and black wrapper. And Louis said, are you Greg?
Oh, man.
I said, wow. No. I said, I'm Gary. I'm the youngest one. And he says, I haven't seen that ball in over 30 years. So we introduce, he takes the ball, Jack Brickhouse takes the ball. Jack Brickhouse starts spinning the ball and telling us everybody's nickname on that team.
Jeez.
It is phenomenal. So then Boudreau calls down to the clubhouse, and Vukovic was the third base coach back then.
Okay,
And he talks to him. He says, hey, I got a friend up here. He says, can you get a ball signed? You got time? And the coach said, sure. So he said, all right, I'll give you about a half hour. He says, I'm going to send these two guys down to the third base line. He goes, and he described what shirts we were wearing. He said, I want you to give it to them. He says, as a gift. He says, and he's going to show you something, but you can't keep it.
Wow. That is an unbelievable story, Gary.
And that ball is so pristine. It's my brother has kept it in a dark place, and the signatures are absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, wow, Gary, thank you so much for calling.
All right, have a good morning.
All
congratulations.
Right. Take care. Thank you, Gary. Wow, what a great story, huh? Yeah. All right. Hi, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich will have the opening bell at 5, and the great Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive. We've been reminiscing this morning. I've been having a great time talking with Steve and Johnny. It's so great to have them back on the show and to reminisce. And we've been having a ball talking about the 2017 inductees for the Walk of Fame remembering all the great stuff that they did and all that really, really cool stuff. And by the way, after 4:30, Esmeralda and I are going to go head-to-head in another battle of celebrity name game. So that's coming up. Our phone number and text number is 312-981-7200, and let's welcome Steve and Johnny back. Welcome back, guys.
Well, thank you, Nick.
All right.
In your wildest dreams, when you first started at WGN, Did you ever anticipate something like what is going to happen on Thursday?
No. The simple answer to that is no. I never expected that. And, you know, I, like I've said before, just being, you know, on the air on WGN is an honor. And you know, I still can't get over the fact that I have a radio show on WGN, and I've had a radio show on WGN since 1998. So yeah, it's crazy. And, you know, and again, you know, you guys are setting me up for like being a real mess on Thursday.
I think, yeah. And your point.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. So,
what, you wouldn't be human though, if you weren't kind of pinch me, can this be real? This is downright surreal. And
yeah. And, you know,
I got to tell you something that is really, really cool. Now, we're, for the next couple weeks, we're still spending some time down here in Panama City Beach in Florida.
Right.
I still have trouble recycling. So what happens in the middle of the night? It is so cool to be able to reach over, grab the radio headphones, turn on my little Sea Crane radio, switch it to 720, and old-fashioned terrestrial radio, I'm picking you up right down here in Panama City Beach.
Live and local.
Yeah,
yep.
That's so great. That really is great. Okay, let's talk about the other person who's being inducted who currently works here, besides me. The only two people that still work at WGN are myself, who are being inducted, and the great Judy Pylak. Let's talk about Judy. She is a hell of a character, man.
She's a firecracker.
Yes, she is.
And always was.
Yep. Yep. She, you know.
And we had the very good fortune, many years ago, while Judy was more than a little pregnant, she was working overnights with us.
Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, if Judy can be a spitfire during the day when she's rested, when her hormones are raging and she's sleep deprived, buckle up, kids.
I know.
She funny?
I've been there. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, my gosh. She was priceless to the point where the listeners softened her up, though. I can recall this clearly because she was cold. Her feet were cold. It's so damn cold in here. Why do they have to have it so cold? Is it because you're working at night, they feel that they don't have to give us any heat?
Right.
Well, the listeners made her slippers. They made her afghans. They made her shawls. You know, she said, wow, I love these people. Plus, you guys eat all night long, too.
That's exactly right, yeah. The other thing about Judy, besides being just really just a, I mean, I love her, man. I love her. Oh. She and I get along famously. And she's not only just a great person and really cool and a badass, but she, you know, she's won awards. She's the news managing editor here. And she also does the Goodbye Girl stuff, which I just absolutely love. And you were talking about her being a spitfire. And I've told this story on the air before. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but there was a concert that Creed put on about, I don't know, maybe 15, 16 years ago. And she had heard me talk about that I kind of liked Creed. They were a guilty pleasure of mine. And so I'm walking through the and they had played this sort of infamous concert. I don't know if you guys remember this or not. But the concert that they played, it was a sold-out concert at the Allstate Arena. Mm-hmm. And Scott Stapp, the lead singer, was visibly drunk, like he was loaded. And he couldn't remember the lyrics. He was laying down on stage. And in fact, if you guys remember this or not, the audience filed a lawsuit for their money.
Well.
Okay,
yeah.
So Pylak brought her son to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm walking through the newsroom like 2 days after the concert. And she like just attacks me. What the hell was wrong with those guys? You know, why do you like that band? And I'm doing is walking through the newsroom, and she goes she goes after me like I'm their management or something, and is screaming at me for liking this band. I had to take my son to see this damn show, and he was drunk, and you know, nobody was talking, and blah blah blah. And she's yelling at me, and I'm like, Judy, take it easy. I just happen to like a few songs by these guys. I didn't get the guy drunk. And she would just like, and somehow for months, every time I saw her, she would like blame me for the Creed concert.
She would remind you of that.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah,
well, be sure she'll mention that on Thursday.
Yeah.
I have no doubt.
Yeah.
She's funny. She's so funny.
She's hilarious.
Naturally.
And she's
naturally
she's a breast cancer survivor, and that was a really rough and interesting time that she went through it with dignity and with humor. And I also never will forget John Williams shaving his head. Support her, one of my favorite moments that J-Dub has ever done. I love Judy, and I love the fact that she and I we're compadres at this Walk of Fame, because we're still here. We're still working.
But you know what?
I got to tell you one other thing. As I look at the Walk of Fame, and I see Judy going in, Johnny's in, Kathy and Judy Markey, and I go back to when I started in radio, 1966, and when I was told, now remember, you can't play more than one female vocal in an hour because listeners don't want to hear the female voice.
Yeah.
So,
how far have we come?
How far have we come? Exactly right. All right, Steve and Johnny, hang on, okay? Because we're going to take a break for weather and traffic. And when we come back, you guys, I want to hear some Shriner stories.
Okay.
Hang on a second. Steve and Johnny are with us, and we're going to talk about the final inductee that we're going to speak about this morning is the legendary Larry Shriner. And Steve and Johnny have a lot of experience with Shriner. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's a Wednesday morning, and we're talking with Steve and Johnny and having a great time reminiscing and talking about all of the amazing inductees to the 2017 Walk of Fame. And the induction ceremony is tomorrow, and I hope you guys can come out. It's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun. I would love my Nick D fans to be out there to show some support. It's from 10 a.m. to noon right out here at Pioneer Court. And it's going to be fun. And if you can't make it out, tune in because it's going to be broadcast live between 10 and noon right here on WGN. And let's welcome Steve and Johnny back. Welcome back, guys. Okay. What can you say about Larry Shriner? You guys go ahead.
Well,
where do we begin?
Exactly.
Well, I'll tell you the first word that comes to mind when I think of Larry Shriner, and I mean this, and I said it from the first day I met him. Honest. I don't know that I'd ever met a person that was so honest to the point where if it came down to Larry possibly suffering bodily harm or being sure that the truth was told and their record was straight, he would actually put himself in harm. Because he felt so strongly that these are the rules, and we have to follow the rules, or the world is absolute chaos. And so he started out as a Chicago police officer, and eventually, thanks to Wally Phillips, he used to call Wally Phillips his clout, because he said, you know, Wally would go in to management and say, leave him alone. Nick, you know how that is.
Yes,
you got people saying, leave him alone.
Yes, I do.
He has merit. We need him. And that's what happened. He was on with Wally and developed a following of people who either loved him, and I mean the people who loved Shriner as we did, just loved him and forgave him for mangling the English language. Then there were the people who hated him.
Yep.
You better believe every morning when he did the crime report on the Bob Collins show, the phones were ringing off the wall. How can you have that idiot on the phone? He doesn't know how to speak English. And Bob would say, but you got the facts, right? That's what matters.
And a lot of people don't realize that back in the Larry Shriner days, well, first of all, our producers knew that if Larry Shriner called, it didn't matter who the guest was, what we were talking about. If Larry Shriner called, he went on now.
Yeah.
Because whatever he was calling about was going to be the headline story for the next morning.
Yeah.
And when Larry would be out covering crimes, shootings, whatever, this is back in the day pre-DVRs, Larry had two videotape recorders in the back of his car.
Not just any car, his Mercedes sedan.
Right.
And he would go into some pretty nasty neighborhoods, but he would grab one of the nastiest guys and pay him
to watch his car.
So yep. Larry goes and he sees whatever it is, a crime scene. He calls in to us with all the information, and while he's doing that, he's taking pictures that he then is dubbing off from one VCR to another VCR in the backseat of his car while he's driving back downtown, and he supplied the video that just about every Chicago television station used.
Yeah. Everybody had seen, if you watched morning news, you would see a Larry Schreiner piece.
Yep.
And this was back in the days when the camera that he held on his shoulder was a ginormous piece of equipment.
Oh, yeah,
this wasn't GoPro time.
Oh, yeah. So it's not like he could hide.
Yeah.
When he was out at a store, you knew, oh, that's the dude. Oh, he's the former cop. Oh, that's right. Well, Larry knew how to get in there and get down and dirty. When I was working in traffic with Larry and he was out on the streets, he had twin boys. They were in school. Through grade school and high school, it was my job to call the boys to be sure that they were up and getting ready for school while Dad was, oh, I don't know, on a rooftop, in a gutter, hiding behind a car with a sniper. And I'd have to call them and say, boys, your dad's working, wants to be sure that you're up and about.
Yeah.
I'm thinking their dad is hiding from a sniper.
It's amazing. It's amazing. The story is, it was always, every time Schreiner would do a report, There was a real excitement to it.
It was
live. It was vital. You know what I mean? It was happening
was
at that moment.
Breathless.
Yeah.
He was always breathless. Like he just ran to the payphone.
Right.
And he picked it up. And
right.
he was going to be on the and so he couldn't think of the right word. So he would just make up the word. Because you know what? It is a heinous world that we live in, and it couldn't be much worser than
that's
it is.
Exactly right. Oh my God, that's so funny.
And we would all just go, yeah. Oh Lord, he just used the word heinous.
I know. It was great. It was great every time. I want to mention really quickly that for people who, if you want to get a sort of a smaller view maybe of what Larry did, there's this movie that came out with Joe Pesci called The Public Eye.
Yeah.
And it was a period piece. It didn't take place, you know, it was a period piece. He was a photographer. But that is essentially what Larry Schreiner did. If you want to see it, it's a really terrific movie called The Public Eye with Joe Pesci, and it kind of covers the same ground that Larry Schreiner covered. And he was an amazing guy.
I also want to mention, forgetting his ability as a newsman, when you had Larry Schreiner as a friend, you had a friend.
Mm.
You remember we were over in London. I had a very bad accident.
Yep.
I have three screws in my hip now because of that. But
yep.
We flew back to Chicago. Thanks to Larry Schreiner, we didn't have to go through customs because when we landed at O'Hare, Larry was there with the people from customs, and he brought them on the
plane. On the plane.
Oh.
They came to us on the plane and checked us out and then escorted Steve on a gurney into a Chicago Fire Department ambulance. We were then escorted down the Kennedy Expressway to get us home.
Damn.
We were absolutely blown away because it had been a devastating 2 weeks. It was just so
right. It
was scary. And then finally to be home, and all I could do was just cry that I was home, and then to be welcomed that way.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, he knew the right people to call, and he said, look, you know, these are good people. Can we do this for them? And they did, and it was crazy.
That's great. That's great.
I have to say that Larry had a wonderful sense of being a team player.
Yeah.
Where I'm going with this was, there was one time when Johnny was doing traffic with Bob in the morning, and I don't know if it was...
It was Bob's birthday.
It was Bob's birthday?
Yeah.
Larry... let Johnny
dress him
with pantyhose
and high heels,
and he played the part of the hooker
on Michigan Avenue. I mean, he said, okay, ma'am, because he always called me ma'am.
Right.
Ma'am, whatever you say. And I said, now you need to get your... And Steve was outside the bathroom door as I'm trying to get these pantyhose on him, and I'm screaming, stop wiggling!
Up.
Just stand here!
Oh,
so in the middle of the show, Bob looks out, and there's this hooker, and you know the name Larry Langford, who is the information officer?
Absolutely.
Larry dressed up as the pimp.
And he's berating his hooker in front of the Showcase studio.
Oh, my God.
And Collins is going, what the hell's going on here? What's going on? And Larry looks so pathetically bad as a hooker.
Yeah.
And so Bob intervened, and then it's when he turned around, he ripped off his wig. He goes, happy birthday, Bob. Well, Bob was not amused.
Yeah.
But you couldn't look at Larry wearing pantyhose and a skin-tight spandex dress and high heels and not laugh.
Right. Right.
But you know what? If it was for the show and it was going to be, you know, he wanted to be a part of, wanted people to know that there was another Larry other than that breathless crime reporter that was always doom and gloom.
Right. Wow. Listen, great stories. And it was so nice of you guys to hang out all morning with me. I really appreciate it.
What an honor. What an honor.
Thank you for asking us. And again, we're so sorry that the commitments we have keep us from being there with you in person. I hope we can con you into inviting us back in person sometime this summer.
Anytime, as you know. Anytime. Again, this is your show. I'm just filling in.
Stop it.
But congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Long overdue and well-deserved.
I appreciate that very much. Coming from you guys, that means really, really means a lot. So thanks, guys.
Enjoy it.
Thank you. Okay, take care. There's Steve and Johnny. What a thrill having those guys on.